The passage for tonight is Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says that a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And so the message that I'm going to preach to you very briefly here tonight is a combination of three messages. And many of you have heard my message, or at least one of these messages on this. I don't think it's by any accident that when I preached this message last, I was at Brother Gunther's church, and Brother Tim, where did Brother Tim Lambert go? He set me up, he preached that message, and this is a different variation of it. So I believe I'm fixing to dovetail off what he just said. I absolutely believe we're cooking with gas tonight. And I believe that the Lord has absolutely directed this thing. Now pray for me that I'll do it right. Before I begin, I want to say this. With the amount of preachers I have here tonight, it's guaranteed that you're not going to agree with everything I'm fixing to say. And that's just fine. You don't have to agree with everything I'm fixing to say, but I hope that you'll agree with the theme of it. The theme of this meeting is the importance of faithful service. And there's no way that you and I can be a faithful servant. No way. If we are, as Brother Tim just told you, unbalanced. Have you ever wondered why there's so many Bible believers out there that are as nutty as a pecan pie? Yeah. Have you ever wondered why so many Bible believers wander off into the land of Oz, never to come back? Well, it's because they are not just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but they are unbalanced. And so the title of my message tonight is Reactionary Theology. That's what I'm going to preach to you in just a few moments. I'm not going to preach about Reformed theology and dispensational theology and covenant theology and bonehead theology. I'm going to preach to you about reactionary theology, and yes, I made it up. I made it up. And I also went ahead and developed my own definition for it. So I'll just give it to you. Reactionary theology. That's a theological perspective or point of view derived as a result of an overcorrective response to an erroneous doctrine, position, or Christian practice that consequently often leads to an incorrect and overcorrective theological understanding, belief, or practice. Now, you didn't think a redneck from South Alabama could come up with that, did you? Now, listen. I want you to listen to the scripture I just read to you here tonight. This thing is talking about the weights and the balances that was used in the time of the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. And it talks about these balances that are used to weigh food and other items. And when you read in the Bible, you see that the law forbade the people of God from cheating folks with a false or rigged balance and false weights. And that's what it's talking about. Now, you read about that in different scripture references, Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy chapter 25. I will read Proverbs 16:11 to you, 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. You see, if you get an NIV or New American Standard, you got a false balance. You got rigged weights. You got to get the King James Bible. But I want to say that practically speaking, Christians are to be balanced in their Christian lives. And for Bible-believing Christians, many times that can be a very difficult thing. Just like Brother Tim said, I'm going to be dovetailing on some of the things he said. But I think it's very important that a church and a Christian stay balanced. And you get unbalanced when you don't do what the Lord's told you to do. If you don't watch yourself and see that you're getting out of balance. Listen, the theme of this meeting is for us to be faithful servants. Now, you want to know what's going to derail you? Make sure that you don't finish right. Make sure that you're not a faithful servant, that you don't finish the race like God wants you to. It's to just get imbalanced, and many Christians are. I just want to encourage some of you folks to get more balanced about some things, and I'm going to bring to your attention several things tonight, and that's when some of you is going to say amen, and some of you is going to laugh, and some of you is going to frown, and some of you is going to blow up. And it'll be all right. All right. We'll get over it. We'll get through it. I'm going to bring some things to your attention that we as Bible believers need to hear. Because I'm going to tell you about you folks that I may be preaching to, and I'm preaching to myself. But if I'm preaching to any preacher here tonight or any Christian, somebody up there in the balcony, somebody back here, somebody back there in the foyer, let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't get balanced. You're going to help to split a church. You're going to get off in left field. You're going to become a heretic, mess up your family, run folks off, backslide. And listen, it will all be over things that don't even matter. Amen. Don't even matter. But you made such a big deal out of it that you're a headache to everybody around you. And I want you to avoid that. Just to build up a little bit of what I'm trying to say tonight. When you look in theology, first of all, you've got to realize that God, you have to approach Him as being a balanced God. Romans 11:22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." He's a good God and He's a severe God. What do we have in the theological spectrum? We have Calvinism and Arminianism, both extreme views, aren't they? And in the middle is the truth. We have non-dispensationalists. We have hyper-dispensationalists. There's no balance there. We got folks baptizing babies and baptismal regeneration and folks that don't even baptize at all. We got the charismatics talking about the Holy Ghost and wallowing around in the floor like a fish out of water and acting a fool. And we got some Baptists that are scared to say Holy Ghost. Now, let me mention this doctrine of repentance. This has become such a crazy thing now. I never thought I'd see Baptists that would forget talking about repentance. Just because there's a bunch of lordshippers and a bunch of folks that don't know what the word means. And now they try to drop it out of the gospel presentation. There's something wrong with you. You don't repent, you can't get saved. You got to change your mind and then believe on Christ. And I'm not going to let a bunch of knuckleheads reroute my theology. Because then I'm not balanced anymore. But you're seeing more and more of that. We as Bible believers try to make up for the rest of the evangelical world and these preachers. And we get unbalanced. Listen, man, your people's not listening to Osteen and Benny Hinn. I hope they're not. But we try to overcorrect that stuff. You got to preach doctrinal stuff, practical stuff. Preach and teach as a pastor. Pastoral authority. Some people want to be a dictator. Some people want to be a wimp. There's a balance. All my credentials are from the Southern Baptist. I come from the Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptists want to hold you on a string like a little puppet. Everybody all right? I got a few more minutes. I'm just getting started. But here's the problem with the independent Baptists. Now you want somebody to lick your boots. I'm the man of God and all this kind of stuff. You got an authority problem. And I've just decided since I've got this new theology now, and I'm going to submit it to the next joker that puts out a theology book. It's just as good as anybody else's, I guess. And I got my own definition to it. Now I'm going to start a new denomination. I left the Southern Baptist. I'm tired of the independent Baptist. Now I'm going to start the dependent Baptist. We are dependent on the King James Bible and the Holy Spirit. Just kidding. I'm not starting nothing. Just up here running my mouth, man. So listen, you got to have balance between your zeal and knowledge. I know some people that's got zeal. Some people got a lot of knowledge, but you got to get balanced between that. Listen, if you can't sit up under a preacher and keep your mouth shut and learn something, you got no business getting up here pastoring anybody. There may be some young preacher here tonight, you're just chomping at the bit, you want to go. No, you need to sit, Holmes. Then you get your chance. Everybody all right with that? Just a few things. I'm trying to bring this down here where you understand this. We have this, what it is a reaction, okay? We as Bible believers see things that are messed up and we know that there's wrong and we know that the world is gravitating in the wrong direction and we see the error in it. But what we do is now we're going to react against that. We're going to make sure we take a stand against that. We're going to make sure everybody knows that we don't believe that. And then we get all messed up. This liberalism and legalism stuff. You know, I remember when I came out of the Southern Baptist and I got around the Bible believers, and it was a whole different world for me. But one day I got to looking at everybody and I thought, you know what it looks like in this bunch? It's a contest of who can make their wife look the ugliest. And whoever puts the most these sneakers and jumpers and all that kind of stuff and get rid of the cosmetics and all, you win. You're the most spiritual. And I decided I don't want to be in that contest no more. I got a beautiful wife up there, upstairs right there, and I want her to stay that way. I don't care how many cosmetics she uses. So what we're going to do, we're going to react to the nakedness and react to the people that don't have any standards. And now we make a big deal out of looking like you come off the set of Little House on the Prairie. I don't want my wife to look like that. We got this thing with appearance and manners. Listen, you ought not look like a slob, but all this stuff these fundamentalists push about. Make sure your shirt's tucked in and make sure your hair is combed. Get breath mints in your mouth so you don't put bad breath on somebody. You know what? You know what I believe? These fundamentalists, they say this stuff. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, there's a bunch in that Bible that were very clean. Matter of fact, they were so clean they got on Jesus and his boys about going eating with unwashed hands. They were dressed real conservative too. They had all the standards. And they were full of the most hell of anybody he ever talked to. We wouldn't have somebody here like that tonight, would we? We got these health food nuts versus unhealthy eating. Now, we already talked about fat people here tonight, and I feel a little uncomfortable. My nickname is the Heavy Bishop. And so that's rough to start with. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to have a balanced diet, man. And listen, but what we got now, we got these folks that don't want to eat catfish and pork, and now they're preaching against all that. That Bible says you're the weaker brother. I said you're the weaker brother. If you don't want to eat your catfish and pork, I'll eat it. I'm from South Alabama. We know how to fry it up real good. Now you got these environmentalists, and we know they're a bunch of crazy fanatics. But now I hear about Bible believers that purposely drive down the road and throw the junk out the window. You're stupid. Don't be throwing that junk out the window. Give a hoot. Don't pollute. You remember that? I know God's going to burn it up, but I don't want you to junk it up before he burns it up. Please don't do that. Now we got these gun control folks versus the Bible-believing militia. Listen, unless you are a police officer or military, nobody in this church tonight has fired as many rounds as me. You couldn't hardly put in this church all the turkey and deer and birds and squirrel and everything I've shot and killed and ate. I can't remember not having a gun. But you don't deserve a gun. I know who I'm talking to. I'm from Alabama, brother. It sinks down there, and I'm in Tennessee preaching, and it sinks up there. It's going to sink here tonight, but I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyway. Nobody told you in that Bible you deserve to have a gun. And if they want to disarm you, they're going to do it. And I've heard folks say this stupid stuff about, out of my cold, dead body, they'll get my gun. Of course they will. Then your wife will be husbandless, but she might like that. I don't know. Don't you know that safety's of the Lord? Yeah. I preached a message not long ago entitled The Tale of Two Kings. And I believe the Lord gave me something and how when Jerusalem is overtaken and there is a reaction to God judging a country. And one king handled it right and he was carried off into captivity and he did okay, but the other king didn't, had his eyes gouged out. His sons killed, and the city burnt down. When God puts a country under judgment, you don't fight it. And you don't preach stupid stuff against it. You go with it, or you get your eyes put out spiritually. Blinded spiritually, off in left field. With a bunch of nonsense, like this conspiracy stuff. Of course I believe there's conspiracies. The words in the Bible. I believe in the Illuminati and the Masons and the Blue and Grays. I'm not talking about the North and the South. I believe in all that. But everybody I have ever dealt with that got a hold of that stuff, they turn out to be a perfect nut. And you can't tell them anything. You know why? They're sure that you're doing something wrong as a pastor because they don't spend no time in that book. No time in that book. It's always on that computer looking up nonsense. You want to help somebody, quit looking up all that nonsense on the computer and preach something out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't be preaching the headlines.
Right.
You don't, the headlines change.
Amen.
You can have all the broadcasts and the all the articles you want to. The only thing we can depend on is the precious Word of God.
Amen.
And any of you folks leaning that way, you're messing your life up.
Yeah.
And mine too. We have this anti-family society that don't want any children, and now if you don't have 15 or 20 youngins, they think there's something wrong with you. I've just been telling you some stuff I've had to deal with over the years. And I get tired of it. And listen, husbands, you need to talk to your wives about that. Getting in the nursery and running their mouth at somebody about because they don't have as many youngins as they do. And quoting verses, don't even know what they're talking about. You know what the Bible says? Bless this man that has his quiver full. Tell your wife that she needs to figure out what a quiver is before she goes running her mouth about it. You know what a quiver is? I'm sorry, I got a little attitude, but it's just coming on now. Listen. A quiver is something you put arrows in. And you might want to know this for some of you ladies that think all quivers hold 20. Some quivers hold 2 arrows. Some quivers hold 3 arrows. Some quivers may hold 1 arrow. You know what I think some of it is? You think that it's your conviction that you ought to have all the children you need to have and you can't use birth control, and if that's your conviction, I don't care. But then you get miserable about it and you jealous of these other women that look good. Nobody told you to have all them youngins. You want to have them, that's fine, but don't be... Everybody all right? I'm telling you stuff I've had to deal with.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
I don't care how many kids you have. But how many kids you have has got nothing to do with your spirituality.
Right.
Just means you're either fertile or not.
Yeah.
This herbs or no herbs, that is the question. Some people think herbs are of the devil. Some think herbs can fix everything. In the middle of some truth. I don't think there's nothing wrong with sprinkling a little bit of cinnamon on my toast. But I'm not going to walk up to you and give you, hey, I tell you what, if you just go out in the backyard and get that red root, that'll kill you, get that black root, and just eat that, eat some leaves and everything else, you'll be fine. And all these people, these health conscious people are telling me about how much water I need to drink. I am not going to drink a gallon of water a day. I'm going to die young. I'm not running around, bless God, with a gallon jug of water in one hand and a urinal in the other. I'm not doing that. I care how healthy it is. People are too high or too low. Either they're all jacked up or they all... And I'm telling you something else. I hear this bunch of Bible believers now. They said this about a place I love very much. Let's just get it all out here tonight. The thing that I hear, and I hope this does get live. Well, you know, then they lost the shout down there. What in the world does that mean, lost the shout down there? Where in the Bible does it say that you had to shout about anything to make sure you was a good Christian or following the Lord? Let me tell you about something. I know this fellow one time down there. He ain't from around here. He'd come in, he'd say, boy, if ever you ever got what I got, you'd shout and holler. And the next thing you know, he didn't even know he was saved. I don't want what you got. I don't care if you shout. I don't care if you don't shout. But listen, whether you shout or not, it's got nothing to do with your spirituality or how close you are to God. You can run your mouth about everybody else that don't scream and holler like you. But you're leaning too far one way or the other. Well, they lost their shout. Well, you lost your mind. I'm defending the place. Got it?
Yes.
Nobody's going to have to ask me whose side I'm on.
Yeah.
Always angry and never angry. There are some times to be angry. Perhaps some of you should get more angry. Perhaps some of you should just calm down. Some of you are saying, well, you ought to calm down. But see, you got to get a balance. Some of you need to go back and watch the old Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi with Danielson on the bow. Balance, Danielson, balance. And he shakes Daniel, and he falls out into water. He laughs at him because he showed him. He says, you got to have balance. I'm telling you, we're making light of it, but I'm saying some things that we really need to pay attention to. Our worship service is spirit and truth. Good doctrine and some good shouting. I help yourself. I like it. Some are all truth, however, and some are just dry as dust. Some jump and shout, don't know a thimble full of Bible. Some don't say anything. I mean, there is a balance there and all that stuff. When it comes to your music, some people, we realize that worldly music and Christian rock music is so bad, but the only thing we can have in the church is bluegrass. There's more music besides that. Whoa, it got cold, man. That PCC music's good. I don't like it, but there's nothing wrong with it. I don't care if you like that. Quickly. We got Christians living off the grid in his home church. You got a fellow trying to pastor, ain't qualified to pastor a goat family. Then we got Bible believers in everybody's business. That's another thing I don't understand about Bible believers. When I was a Southern Baptist, we backed our cars up the night after we graduated. We went out the dorm room. We loaded up everything and we left. And I've got some very good friends from my Southern Baptist days, but I don't know where they're at. Some of them's in Florida. Some of them's in Mississippi, Alabama, all up north, out west. I don't understand why all these Bible believers know what all the other Bible believers are doing. All up in their business about, well, you know, so-and-so, he quit this year and he did. Somebody explain that to me. How come you know about everybody that's fell out and everybody that's doing wrong and everybody's preaching heresy right now? And you don't even know the latest that's going on in your own local church or they need your help. We got marriage and ministry. You have to get that balance. Some of you young preachers, now, I'm just telling you, if you don't get that balance, you're going to make a critical mistake. Yes, amen. Right. Yes. And I'm not telling you to compromise or choose your wife over the Lord, but I'm telling you, you have to get that balance. Amen. Right. Amen. It's not fair to your wife for you to leave her for a so-called spiritual reason all the time. I know some preachers, what we saw is this group that focused on nothing but numerical growth. And now we have some of these Baptist preachers. I hope none of you's like this. You're paranoid when a visitor comes. You think it's, I've actually heard Bible believers talk about, well, it may be a Jesuit priest visiting us today. What is wrong with everybody? I don't understand that. You say, I don't know anybody like that. Well, we're talking about you then. You got these people, you realize folks are man, they're involved in man worship. Now you're a maverick. Can't nobody pastor you and tell you anything. Now you want your wife to obey you. You want your children to obey you. You want everybody to snap to you when you're at work, but you can't come to church and obey somebody. See, there's something wrong with you. Something very wrong with you. I'm fixing to cut her down. I've said enough to make my point. But you got, I'll say one more. You got these folks that are always looking in the Bible for something new. Why don't you, we say, well, we know we believe in progressive revelation and all this kind of stuff. Okay. All right. But you're probably not going to get it. Fellow said one time, he said, I don't understand why would they want a new King James Bible. We ain't done what all the old ones said yet. Some of you just stay with what you know because you don't know what you think you know anyway. And just go with that. You'll be way ahead of the game, okay? And he was talking about we have no soul winning, which is Rome. But now we think soul winning is everything, which is Rome. He talked to you again as I began to close about prayer and about Bible and about church, and there's a balance in all of that. But what has happened, the reason that we're so unbalanced, and I'm getting ready to close, and I want you to listen to me as I end with this, and I'm purposely trying to be a little rough and purposely trying to be a little sarcastic and purposely trying to be comedical and all of it, trying to keep everybody with me. But I'm doing this for a purpose tonight, okay? The reactionary theology, I sat down and thought up that definition and all that, you know, a little satire there, but some seriousness. But this is the truth. We as Bible believers have got more truth than any group of believers out there. So what will happen is we are the first ones usually to be able to identify a movement or a position or a teaching or a problem that has really got messed up. We can see it. We know it because we believe the Bible, and God gives us things just for believing the Bible, and we know it. He shows us some things and we can see it. And what happens is because we don't check our pride, we don't check our spirit, we don't get good counsel from older preachers and folks like that. We don't sit on a thing and wait on it and let God speak to us about it before we get it all out there. Because we don't do that, we overreact. We say, I know that's wrong, so I'm going to prove it's wrong in my preaching, in my teaching, in my stand. And we overreact, and what happens is, in our stand against them, they went in the ditch over here. But we're over here. And that's why so many of them drop out, never finish, a heartache and a trouble to their preacher, messed up in la-la land, fooling around, worried about stuff that don't even matter. You ask Dr. Peacock and any of these other police officers in here that's ever investigated a crash. You know what happens oftentimes in a crash? It's not always liquor. It's not always somebody else. Sometimes it's this. Somebody will be going down the road, and they're fiddling with something, and maybe they're on their cell phone, which you shouldn't be. The cell phone is going to kill more people than liquor before it's over on the road. I tell you it is. And you're fiddling around with that, and you look down, and all of a sudden you look up, and your car's drifting off. Listen to me now. I'm finished. Your car's drifting off. And you look up, and you go, oh, there's a problem. I'm heading in the wrong direction. But in order to keep me out of the ditch from wrecking, they do this. And they don't correct it. Listen, they overcorrect it. And wind up going extremely across the highway, opposite of where they was going, into a ditch, and they're dead. And what I'm telling you tonight is going to kill you spiritually. Because you see the problem as a Bible believer, you understand the problem. But you can see a problem intellectually as a Bible believer, but if you don't see it, if you see it with a messed up heart and pride and get out of balance, I guarantee you the Lord wouldn't fix that thing where Brother Tim went and I went and we all meet together. Somebody here needs this. And you may not agree with my opinion on every illustration, and again, that doesn't matter. But you ought not have any trouble with the theme. Reactionary theology, it's killing Bible believers. All right, Brother Peacock, every head bowed and eye closed.